Please read the 10:30 time certain.
Item 839, approved 21-year tax exemption extension request by the Hazelwood Group, LLC, for the portion of Hazelwood Retirement Community that is required to be reserved for households at or below 75% area median family income.
Good morning. I'm Barbara Sack from the Planning Bureau, and I'm here to present the Planning Commission's recommendation on the request for an extension of a 10-year TOD tax exemption for the Hazelwood Retirement Community. This request is for a term of 21 more years, the required affordability period for a portion of the units in the project. City Council first approved a 10-year tax exemption for this project under the TOD program on November 12, 1997. The exemption is set to expire at the end of this month on June 30, 2008. The requested extension would be through June 30, 2029. The TOD tax exemption program is a multifamily program that is available outside the central city in light rail station areas and other transit-oriented areas. The purpose of the 10-year tax exemption is to provide an incentive for high-density, mixed-income residential development near light rail stations and other transit facilities. Under the TOD program, a project can receive an exemption for up to 10 years if it provides only 20% of its units affordable to low-income households. The 10-year exemption is meant to incent mixed-income projects, so it can contain units that have a range of affordability. The state statutes and the TOD program regulations allow the term of a tax exemption to be granted for longer than 10 years for a project that provides low-income housing subject to a low-income housing assistance contract. And the term can be extended for the term of the affordability contract. This is a different standard than the standards for the initial 10-year exemption, which is meant to incent new development. The purpose of allowing an exemption longer than 10 years is to preserve low-income housing that's owned by private developers. Over the last 2 years, City Council has held 3 hearings on tax exemption extension requests. And they were requests for projects that had exemptions under our Central City program, which is available in the Central City and urban renewal areas. The TOD program is a similar program and is authorized by the same state statutes. And the criteria for extensions is the same as the Central City projects. The Hazelwood Retirement Community is located at 119th and Davis Street near the 122nd Avenue Max Light Rail Station. The project is the upper 3 stories of a 4-story structure over some small retail shops, and it is between a Safeway and a Target store as part of a larger shopping center. The project has 120 units of congregate care housing for people 62 years of age and older. It includes a mix of studios, 1 bedrooms and 2 bedrooms, and there's also some additional services provided for the elderly tenants. The unit type and a required affordability are on the second page of the Planning Commission's report in a chart, so I'm not going to go into them. PDC has an affordability agreement that restricts rents on 80% of the units. And the restriction is that the units be 75% affordable to households at 75% median family income and below. And then there are some units that have lower affordability requirements. The state of Oregon also has a regulatory agreement on the project, and it restricts the rent on 20% of the units. And this runs through 2029.
And what's the state of Oregon's requirement is based on what abatement? Is that the TOD?
The state of Oregon provided financing for the project. Both PDC and the state of Oregon provided loans for this project, and that's why there's affordability agreements. And these are separate than the requirements of the TOD tax exemption.
Okay.
So,
those contracts enable Hazelwood to seek an extension of the tax exemption for 21 more years.
Right, because a portion of the project does provide low-income housing subject to what's called a public assistance contract to provide low-income housing, and that's been interpreted as these affordability agreements that are part of the loan conditions.
Right.
If a project applied for the TOD tax exemption and there was no financing, then the affordability agreement on 20% of the units would only last for the 10 years. The reason that there's these longer affordability agreements has to do with the financing, and it doesn't have anything to do with the requirements of the TOD program.
But the 20% of the affordable mixed income units for the TOD is a separate criteria from the typical recommendations that come from planning for abatements for low-income housing. Is that correct?
The TOD program provides an incentive for mixed income housing, and we changed the regulations of the TOD program in 2006 to require some affordable housing for the 10 years of the exemption.
This is a very complicated subject. So I know you know way more about this than we do. So I'm going to ask you to listen to real carefully to my questions, because your answers are good, but they may not be exactly to what I'm asking, and then I get confused. So as I understand what you said, was that to qualify for the transit-oriented abatement, the project needs to have at least 20% of the housing units affordable.
Right, at 60% MFI or
at
below.
60% or below. So let's stop there. They've gotten that, and that's expired, or is going to expire soon, so now they want another abatement. So the question I'm asking is, the criteria for the abatement they want now, does that fit into some specific standard that we have outside of the transit-oriented development abatements for abatements for affordable housing? I'm reading between the lines in what you're saying, and what I'm hearing is, no, it doesn't.
State statutes that enable the program allow an exemption for longer than 10 years for low-income housing that's subject to a low-income housing assistance contract.
Okay, but I want to stop you there, because we have our standard here at council that we've used, right? And the standard's been basically 60% or below median family income qualifies for an abatement. We've been very clear about that. As I understand it, this project may not meet that standard. Is that correct?
A portion of the project meets that standard. A third.
They're asking for an abatement for the whole project.
Right.
Okay. So we have to look. We can't parse it up. We have to look at the impact. So my question again is, does the abatement that's being requested meet the standards that we traditionally apply to other requests for abatements? And I'm hearing no. Part of it might, but other parts of it might not.
Staff's understanding of the, granting a tax exemption for longer than 10 years is it's only for low-income housing.
Okay. So if that's the case, what is the standard that needs to be met to get an abatement for that, a 100% abatement? Or is this, you're recommending, the Planning Commission's recommending 80%?
The Planning Commission is recommending that the abatement be extended for 80% of the project.
For 10 years.
For 21 years.
For 21 years.
Because there's affordability agreements that run for 21 years.
But does that recommendation square with what the staff normally would do on a project?
The staff's recommendation to the Planning Commission was that the tax exemption be extended for 21 years for a third of the project that's affordable to households at or below 60% MFI.
And so what is the justification that the Planning Commission used to override the staff's recommendation?
Low income is not defined in the TOD regulations, and there's various definitions of low income. For our nonprofit program, we use 60% MFI. HUD uses 80% MFI. The Planning Commission was very concerned about preserving this project, and they decided to use the HUD standard.
But have we done that on any other project? Have we?
No, we've only had three other exemptions, and the housing in all those projects was at 60% MFI and below.
But strictly speaking, this isn't a request for a continuation of the TOD abatement, is it? It's a request for an abatement for affordable housing.
Right, but it's under the TOD program. So
they're requesting under the TOD program.
Right. You can go for longer than 10 years under the TOD and the Central City program for low-income housing subject to a public assistance contract to provide low-income housing.
So is it fair to say that at this point in time, the confusion arises because there's some there's some lack of a clear standard by which we apply to projects. I mean, if the staff is recommending one thing and your bosses at the commission are recommending something different, it sounds to me like there's some confusion.
Well, the problem is that low in the statutes that enable this program and in the TOD regulations, low income is not defined.
Can I jump in for one thing, Commissioner?
Yeah.
Because I've been playing catch up on this, and there are multiple tax abatement programs, as mm-hmm. you know, that we administer. And for example, in January of this year, the council put a moratorium on new applications for the multiple unit housing tax exemption program for a year, except for projects that are 100% at MFI, 60% or below, which is how this council has defined affordability. My understanding, Barbara, and I just want to take this line of questioning, is that there are a number of developments that were done under the TOD program, for which people got a 10-year abatement, which are going to start hitting the expiration of the 10-year period, and this may be the beginning of a number of requests that we have to extend that 10-year period, subject to some understanding about maintaining affordability and some criteria. But I think to Commissioner Leonard's point, it's not clear to me that we actually have clear criteria in currently before us and how we would evaluate requests for extensions of the abatement under the TOD program. We do have the council expressing some skepticism about extending certain programs, and we do have apparently a disagreement between some of our jurisdictional partners as to what qualifies as affordable. We're at 60%. The federal government's up to 80%. That's a healthy discussion, but this council has, I think, consistently said 60% is the ceiling on affordability.
But can I throw out another thing? I think it was in 2004, 2005, the council adopted a resolution eliminating abatements for market-rate housing.
Under the Central City Program, that's true.
Well, strictly speaking, that might be accurate, but I will tell you that as the drafter of that resolution, that was intended to cover all market-rate housing in the city. So while there may not be a written policy, I do think that the sense of the council has been, if I can just summarize what that is that abatements are really no different than writing a check out to the owner of the property. It is a direct financial subsidy that can be viewed as the city actually granting them the amount of property taxes they would otherwise pay in a check. So we need to be very careful about who and when we grant these abatements. I have been very consistent in saying that and voting that where we give abatements to those that could otherwise afford housing, it's inappropriate. I mean, abatements should be intended to be used for, and I have consistently supported them for people who can't afford to buy or rent housing, particularly seniors. So I don't want the message here at all to be, because this is a project for those 62 and above, that I have a problem with the abatement. I don't, to the extent that there are people that are 60% or below, and I'm even open to an argument, as I know may be the case in this particular project, that for some reason there might be some other extenuating factors to raise that. From 60 to some other number, I'm open to listen to that. But as a general principle, to the extent that we have market-rate housing with people who can afford to pay for that, I can't look at the folks here in the audience that are taxpayers and explain to them why they don't pay property taxes and these folks out here should. So this feels like it's getting into that area in some of the units. And I understand maybe others not, but some it does. And I want to be fair. And fair means, just as Commissioner Fish is articulating, as these other projects start coming up, I don't want to do this kind of ad hoc, case-by-case, stand-on-their-own-merits analysis. You know, we like this developer, and everybody here knows and respects the owner of this property a lot and want to give him the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, we want to make sure it's objective and applies to everybody the same way, because there may be somebody coming through here we don't like as much, and we shouldn't have that influence our decision as well. So what I'm looking for is some clear, objective standard, and my sense was that the staff's recommendation was closer to that than the Planning Commission's recommendation, and I'm just trying to sort that out.
I'd like to jump in. I think with respect to the issue about market rate housing not receiving a subsidy, I see that clearly if a whole project is going to be built market rate and maybe a small portion is going to be affordable. But it's just the opposite here. It's a large portion is already affordable. A small portion is market rate. And I think we all understand that, market rate housing often helps achieve the affordable housing. The higher rents you can charge at market rate go to offset the rents you charge for lower income. So I guess to me, I'm looking at this, and maybe we don't have clear policy, and maybe we're going to have some clear policy, but I think that fact for this project is that, the market rate does help the equation of offering affordable housing. I find persuasive for this particular project that we should grant the abatement for the entire project for the 21-year period.
But you're comfortable using that kind of an analysis on every project that comes in? I mean, that kind of a subjective versus a actual written kind of template that you lay over every project, and you have percentages in the project of market rate housing, as you say, that maybe shouldn't be exempt and others that should be, and just have a formula that.
Well, I guess I appreciate your point. I guess what I think what's missing here is the PDC analysis that went into this project as well. And I guess, we have their analysis and we have planning's analysis, and I think they're really operating under sort of different sets of standards. I mean, they're all doing their job, but planning looks
that's my point. One set of lenses. That's the point I'm making is that that's the part that makes me uncomfortable is there's these competing standards.
Can I jump in on this for a sec? Because I think there's a way to reconcile the different views on this, and I'm also mindful of the fact that Mayor-elect Adams, in some conversations that he's had with me, has talked about his desire to try to create incentives for family housing, particularly in an adjacent to schools. And there are different tools in our kit that allow us to get there, but we're going to have a council discussion about how you get there.
Yeah.
And having clear guidelines and criteria. As I understand about this particular development, it's financially troubled, and it's been in some financial distress for some time. There's about a 10% occupancy rate currently. We're up against the deadline in terms of the expiration of the TOD program. We are talking, at least with the folks in the affordable units, largely elderly disabled. There is while there is no risk of losing the affordability covenants that attach to the units, because that continues for, I think, 60 years under the...
They extend for another 20 years.
That's another 20 years. There's no risk that the affordability piece will be lost. Mm-hmm. There is some risk of displacement of people who are living there because of the cost structure and the economic turmoil. Under these circumstances, there are a range of options which can be considered, and it's not unusual in these circumstances to have an owner consider a sale or a transfer to a nonprofit or to a housing authority, which is in turn eligible for an entirely different array of tax credits, which make a project more affordable. There's workouts with banks. There's other kinds of things. So because I'm concerned that we don't have clear criteria, and that includes reconciling different standards of affordability between federal, state, and local, and because at the same time, I think that there are some equities that attach to this project in terms of the vulnerable population and the need to have a little breathing room to come up with some other alternatives. One concept I'd like to float with my colleagues is that we consider something in the nature of a one-year abatement at a level that we're comfortable with. That would be, based on the information before us, somewhere between a third, which is currently the number of units that are 60 or below, or up to about 80%, which would bring in the 75% or below. Pass a one-year abatement, which can be renewed, can be renegotiated at the end of the year. My understanding is the financing, most of the financing on this particular development doesn't come up until about the 15th year. So there's no question about how this might impact underwriting and additional financing. But this would allow the folks that I work with at BHCD, for example, to discuss options with the ownership group about how to make this a more viable project, because we want this to be successful and we care about the population that's there. But there seem to be some financial issues that we could help them with.
Well, you clearly understand a lot of those more nuanced issues well, and I would be guided by your recommendation. If you, I don't know how the rest of the council feels, but I appreciate the way you're looking at this. And so at the point at which today you're ready to make some recommendation, I would be.
So again, food for thought would be a one-year extension at an agreed-upon rate that
okay.
the council is comfortable with an understanding that we will, as a body, take a look at our comprehensive strategy on abatements and try to what
which means you, which means you.
Well, which means that I will work with my colleagues to try to craft. We may even want to do a work session on this in the late fall. But I will follow that ball because I know that there are different concerns that each of you expressed to me about different programs.
Nice.
And then in the interim, we would be giving relief to the ownership group. And I think the equity here that's compelling is the nature of the people they're serving.
I appreciate that.
I'm okay with that. I guess the only thing I would point out, again, is if you read the PDC analysis, it says absent the full abatement or with the full abatement, I'm sorry, no, with the full abatement for all the units, the internal rate of return is negative 1.5%. You know, that's well below the standard we have of revisiting abatements if the internal rate of return is 10%, 10% in the positive. They're already down at minus 1.5%. And, you know, to talk about BHCD helping them figure out their stuff, I mean, these are pretty savvy people. They know what they're doing. And if we're going to have BHCD at the table, then I would say PDC's got to be there too. But I think the PDC analysis is pretty telling. They said any reduction in the affordability in the abatement for the entire project gets into internal rate of returns that are so low they can't calculate them.
And I assume, Commissioner Fish, that your intention was to keep it running as is for a year to give time to the different groups to determine if there's a better way to both finance and manage the.
That's correct, Mayor. And we've had a chance in the last day to dig deeper into the financials. And just so we're clear, there are some financial troubles that the development group is experiencing. We don't condition abatements on whether you're having trouble managing your property or not. We look at the public benefit piece, not on whether it's a well or poorly managed project. And the purpose of the 1 year is to get us past having to make a comprehensive decision about how we're going to approach extensions on the TOD program, because I think that's a council discussion we have to have, and we need to establish some clear criteria. Or we're going to be doing this piecemeal over the next couple of years, I don't think is wise. Gives the ownership group a little bit of breathing room. And the only question in my mind is whether there's an appetite to go above a third. I would certainly be comfortable with an abatement that is above a third for the 1 year, up to 80%, depending on what council feels. And then we can revisit this next year.
Well, speaking for myself, I mean, if this is being done in the context of developing a policy, I'm comfortable with the amount that you recommend.
Yeah, I would like to keep this endeavor viable for the next year. So whatever you believe it takes to keep them viable, I would welcome the, as you and I have talked about privately, the overall sort of policy review of this and a variety of other housing related policies and goals and objections. It's really important to me, as you and I have talked about, that we not just have a discussion internal to sort of abatements, but that the discussion be grounded in and framed by why abatements. And I'm going to want to see some quantifiable goals for this whole area of city government work moving forward, which we don't have right now.
Well, let me ask Barbara and Gil then. If we were, as a council, to amend the recommendation and scale it back to 1 year at 80%, we have the authority to do that, correct? And B, would it provide some interim relief so that we could revisit some of the larger policy questions?
You know, I can't talk about the financial condition of the project, but, you know, as long as we came back with a decision before June of next year, you could. What I understand from the city attorney is you could extend it further if you wanted to at that time. You just can't let the whole thing expire.
I thought the purpose of your extension was to extend the full abatement for a year.
Well, I'm recommending that there's the recommendation of the planning bureau is 21 years at 80%. I'm suggesting that it be 1 year at 80%.
The Planning Commission, the Planning staff recommendation was somewhat different than where the Commission ended up, but you're speaking of the Planning Commission.
Taking the number the Planning Commission adopted, which is defining affordability a little broader, but given the financial distress issues, trying to preserve some viability for the next year, scaling it back to 1 year, and then having a discussion with PDC, with BHCD, and the ownership group to see if we can work something out.
But, you know, this is a tax exemption that it's 100% right now.
Abatement.
So
it's an abatement.
A tax abatement at 100%. So my recommendation is to continue it at 100% for a year. It's not that much difference, but it does keep the solvency of the corporation, and that's important if we want to keep the people in the apartments.
I agree, and I would just make it clear for the record that this my support for what the mayor is recommending does not set a precedence for my evaluation of future projects. I think we all agree that we need some sort of better strategic approach, and that the intervening year would allow for you to develop that working with us, Commissioner.
Yeah, I would support that 100%. Also, that the study or whatever is going to happen in the intervening year not necessarily be limited to 80% as the maximum you should go. I think there are legitimate public policy purposes where affordable units help subsidize, I mean, market rate units help subsidize affordable units, and we ought not to throw that recipe out necessarily.
Right, but I also have Commissioner Salzman, just by way of daylighting some of the debate, I mean, I was a fervent supporter of Commissioner Leonard's earlier policy approach on this issue, and part of what I hope Commissioner Fish looks at is if there is, you know, geographic differences in terms of the policy, I'm open to that discussion. But I think we need to end the practice of sort of blind citywide. I still believe that blind citywide abatements, long-term abatements, are not in the best interest of the city. I'm willing to look at something more strategic, but it's got to be based on some real-life facts and some numericals.
Just so people who are new to this process know, when the mayor elect says he hopes a junior commissioner looks at something, what's probably at stake is not only bureau assignments, but monies for rent and copying in the offices, staffing, and a chance to actually be recognized at these proceedings. I may have muddled the waters unintentionally. The 100% exemption that we're now discussing is 100% of those units that would be eligible, correct? So it would be 100% of the 80%, or would it be
all of
units?
The current is 100% of all of it.
Of all the units?
All 120.
Right. The city code and the state statute don't say anything about extensions for market rate units. So, I mean, there is a possibility that the county could come in and try to collect taxes for those units. I mean, that's the only caveat.
It's not that much difference, but I think in terms of the viability, if that's the purpose, is to keep it viable until such time we make a decision, that 100% would be.
Mayor, may I offer an amendment, a friendly amendment to the ordinance? And the amendment.
Please.
Well, before you do, I need to make clear something. I am exceedingly uncomfortable with granting 100% abatement at the end of a 10-year TOD abatement agreement that should have allowed this organization to financially prepare for the expiration of this abatement. I will do something I don't normally do. I will give the benefit of the doubt to those who want to extend this for a year at 100%, only in the context of it being straightened out in the way that Commissioner Adams has articulated it and the way I understand Commissioner Fish is approaching this issue. I will not support, at the end of that project, a recommendation that reflects what Commissioner Salzman is asking for. I cannot, in good conscience, in granting abatements, grant them to people who can afford to pay taxes on the houses that they live in, when other people all around this city are struggling to make ends meet and pay their taxes. There is no public policy reason that I can think of that justifies a person who has the means to pay their taxes to not pay their taxes. I have spoke to every one of these issues as they've come up since I've been on the council now for 6 years, and I've articulated why I don't support some, and the lion's share, 95% of them, I support, and I explain why. It's because it allows people who otherwise can't afford to live in a decent house to move into a decent house with these abatements. So just so we're clear, that my support of this doesn't end up being used against me at the end of the year, I will reluctantly support.
Commissioner, in fairness, though, that the original staff recommendation was 33 1/3%, which tracks units that meet the city council definition of affordability. To get to 80%, you extend up to people at 75% or below.
Right.
How do you get to 100? What's the rationale to get to 100?
To me, that really is the ceiling for purposes of our definition of affordability and covers all the affordable units in the project.
Exactly.
I think we're better off sticking to 80% so we don't set a precedent. Because to go to 100% and include market units for an extension of a program that had a 10-year shelf, I think is going beyond what we need to help the developer out.
That gets me back to my comfort level. I'm fine with 80%.
I'll just say what I said earlier again. I think we're looking at it in a very myopic manner, and we're not really looking at it in terms of the full range of benefits housing like this does provide. You know, first of all, we don't want ghettos. We want people of mixed incomes living in the same place.
To suggest people that live in affordable housing necessarily are in ghettos is offensive. People who live in affordable housing do have the pride of upkeep as well.
Go ahead.
I think we've worked as a city. In fact, it's one of our goals to encourage people of mixed incomes to live next to each one another, not in separate neighborhoods. And that's one goal here. And our second goal is that you can't ignore the fact that market rate in a project helps determine and make affordability possible. Sometimes, you know, you can say we can draw a very myopic look and not have any more of these projects come forward and be built, and we can all pat ourselves on the back, but then we're also at the same time screaming for more affordable housing. Where is it? You know, if the nonprofits or the private sector aren't doing it, it ain't going to happen. And so we need to take a broader look and not just sort of jump down the little rabbit trails and make good sound bites. And, you know, I know you can sit there and use the fact that I support, you know, tax abatement from market rate. You know, you can use that till the end of time. That doesn't mean it's still not a legitimate tool of making affordable housing happen. It's a tool, and I don't think we should totally eliminate it.
Well, Mayor, there's two ways we could approach this. We could make an initial motion to amend and cap it at 80%, see where the council is on that, and if that fails, move it to 100%. I don't know that we have a precedent here for going to 100%, and 80% covers all of the affordable units, which is the compelling issue before us. I would be cautious about going to 100%. Even though you're saying it's sort of like rounding up. Well, we are, in effect, setting a precedent that goes beyond the precedent, the limited precedent we'd be setting at 80%.
So are you going to make the motion?
I'd like to just make a motion to amend the ordinance.
Well, I think we have more public hearing before we can do that. I mean,
I'm just previewing that we could try two amendments and see what applies on council.
Okay. Further questions for these folks?
If I could just offer one clarification. I think you were getting to this, Commissioner Fish. The discrepancy that you asked about, Randy, between the staff position and the planning, but just so we're clear, as others come to testify, we do have guidance from the council on the TOD program in one respect. So let me define the two respects I'm talking about. One is the level of income that qualifies as affordable, and the other is how many units, in other words, how many units in the project are eligible. Is it only the affordable, or is it potentially all? And I think in the second dimension there, we have some guidance from council from 2006 in the TOD program that said affordable units in a project are, when you extend, are eligible for extended tax abatement. What is unclear in the 2006 amendments you made is what affordable means. And so staff took the position that because you had fairly recently given us directives in an analogous program, the multiple
you were trying to be consistent.
It said 60%. We assume that's what you meant. The Planning Commission felt since it's not clear, the 80% might be workable in this project. So that's just kind of how it came to you. What you want to do in a 1-year extension, where you declare we're not setting any precedent, I think is a discussion you should have, and we're not really part of. But
I have some further questions given that. Council discussion. We've heard it characterized that this development or this project is financially underwater. Is that your understanding?
That's what I understand from reading the PDC staff report. the Planning Bureau's province isn't.
Understand. I just want
the financial feasibility of the project, and the applicant is here. If you want
okay,
to ask
then maybe we need to hear from the applicant.
Yeah.
And the other question I would have then is, if it's financially underwater, is it financially imperiled over the next year? The difference between 80 and 100%. So if you don't know that, then we might be able to ask the applicant
that. You should
that.
Take testimony on that.
And I was here when this project went forward originally, and this was a highly unusual project in its ambition and in its location and in the mixed-use nature of it. I remember that. Is that were you here then?
No, Mike Sabin was the staff at that time.
Okay.
On the tax exemption program.
I think it was tied to the commercial development.
Right.
Correct.
And that part of the zoning requirement is that they had to have housing. I don't know if it was mixed low income or what, but they had to have housing as part of the development itself.
Correct.
So this was the other piece, and they had to look around for someone who could then develop the housing section.
Right. Yeah, right. This housing was developed at the request of the city.
So maybe we could hear from the applicant if he or she is willing to.
Thank you. Can the applicant
and
come?
Just the other thing I would say real quickly, Mayor, is that we can come back and talk about this once you've taken testimony. But if a motion includes sort of fixing the policy dilemma over the next year, I think we just want to talk to you about what are the dimensions of that, because they could be quite broad, or they could be fix this within a broader understanding, or they could be fix the broader picture around family housing, which is a major effort. And so I think we just want to talk about what you're intending as a scope and when we might come back to you with a refinement of that scope in a few months or so.
Thank you.
Coming back would include our partners in PDC and BHCD as part of that.
Applicant, please come forward.
Mayor?
Yes.
Depending on the outcome of the amendment, staff may also need time to adjust the other directive. So after the vote, we may need to take a few moments for staff to prepare a written amendment so that it's clear.
Because this is an emergency.
Right. It's an emergency,
today.
Given the fact that if the exemption expires, it can't be extended, we need to get this done today, and
the amendment needs
to be clear. So.
But if we make an amendment today, can we still pass it?
Yes. It's an emergency ordinance, and it can be amended and approved today.
Okay.
But a sense of the council will not be sufficient because there are other adjustments that will need to be made to the ordinance.
I apologize. I have a pre-existing appointment I have to attend to. My vote would be for the 100%, but if it's 80%.
Good morning, Mr. Steffi. How are you?
Good morning, Mayor.
Would you like to make an opening sort of statement?
First of all, my name is Dan Steffi. I'm managing member of the Hazelwood Group, LLC. We're located at 11939 Northeast Davis. I would just point out a couple of things. I understand the sense of where the council is going. I think it's important, however, to recognize you really are looking at a policy decision here, and it's apparent that there's confusion about what your intent was really in 2006 when you made the amendments to the TOD program. It laid out a series of goals that needed to be accomplished for the TOD program. Affordability is one of those goals, but only one. So because of this, the confusion that results about what it is that we were trying to do, that equaled delays, and unfortunately it leaves us here at the end of the year with just a couple of days left to make a decision and move on and not have more opportunity to explore this further. But the fact is that this is a property that is built because of the TOD abatement. It enabled a large parcel of land to be developed in a commercial use that is currently producing taxes for the taxing jurisdictions that would not otherwise be available. And now PDC's analysis clearly identifies that it couldn't have been built without the abatement, and it can't really sustain operations without an extension of that exemption or abatement. The reason is not, and we're perfectly willing to sit down with BHCD, PDC, whomever wants to work with us on refining our operations. We're very proud of what we've accomplished with that property and the services that are provided to the residents. But if we can refine it with some help, love to work with somebody to do that. In our view, the issue comes not from the efficacy of the operations, but the constraints on the affordability that are imposed by the financing agreements that we have with both PDC and Oregon Housing. I would point out that the PDC loan will pay off in 5 years. It's a 15-year loan, and we're current on all of our bills, and we're current on all of our payments. That loan will pay off. It'll help. That's about $60,000, $70,000 a year. The Oregon Housing loan cannot be prepaid, so we can't restructure the debt. It's a 30-year bond. It's a general obligation bond. It absolutely cannot be prepaid. So there is no opportunity to restructure that debt and with a normal financing, you could go ahead and restructure the debt, downsize your payments, and you'd be better off. So it's also important to note that council in the 2006 action set up a procedure to ensure that taxpayers are not subsidizing the profits of building owners and private parties. PDC has to review annually the exact payments from the ownership if the returns are exceeding whatever the limit is that's set by council. So you don't have an open-ended checkbook to write checks to developers in order to work with these projects.
So, Dan, can I interrupt you for a second on that point? Do you give a financial statement every year to PDC?
Absolutely. We have for the last 10 years.
Okay, thanks.
But not only to Oregon, to PDC, but Oregon Housing.
Okay.
Those are audited statements, by the way.
Okay.
So you have controls in place. You set those wisely in place when you amended the ordinance in 2006. I'll stop there, take questions. I would state my obvious preference. If you want to go for a year, continue what's there. Let's work out what the policies need to be over the course of that year. And come on down, get inside our books, look at our operation, help us make it better if we can.
But frankly, I find your argument much more persuasive with all due respect than Commissioner Saltzman's. I hear Commissioner Fish. I'm aware of the work you do. I respect it a lot. I appreciate your openness in terms of your finances. And I appreciate you not disparaging people who live in affordable housing at the same time. So I frankly think you're making a good point. We do have confusing policies. I certainly do not want to inadvertently cause harm to the very people I'm trying to advocate for in the process. I hope you can also appreciate that the concern that I have, and I think the council shares, is just not subsidizing those that can afford to pay their own way. And that's my only concern. And it's been a very consistent concern that I've had since arriving on the council in 2003. And I'm just trying to sort that part out.
Let me ask you, Dan, when you and your partners conceived of this project, I guess in 95, 96, thereabouts, I know it was built in 97, I assume you looked at the need for the market rate housing as part of the mix of how much affordable housing you could do.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And that the market rate does, in fact, enable a lot of the affordability to happen.
Yeah, every penny that comes in from whatever source supports the operation, pays the debts, pays the staff, provides the services for the residents. So you're absolutely correct that the higher income residents are subsidizing the lower income residents.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
I fully appreciate the fact that we don't want to be subsidizing people who can afford to live in other places. But by the other side of that coin is that those people are being charged what we believe is very close to market rates, and that money comes in, enables us to keep the more affordable units in place. So it is a very complex issue. You don't build these. There are not a bunch of these things out there because it ain't simple to do. Okay.
I just wanted to have that come from your mouth because Commissioner Leonard doesn't believe me when it comes from my mouth.
So. Oh, I do believe you. I do believe you. But in all seriousness,
or he doesn't hear me. You don't hear me.
I do hear you. But to imply somehow that the market rate customers somehow prevent the site from becoming a ghetto is offensive, and that's not an argument to use. And it's unfortunately not confined to just your remarks. We have a PDC commissioner who's been want to say the same things, and it's not fair. It's not fair to people who are struggling, particularly the elderly. And all I'm trying to do is, I think, the right thing by the way of those folks that are there caught in the situation that they are, without necessarily giving a gift to people who can afford to pay their own way. I mean, I think that's there's nothing wrong with that.
I want to ask, if I could ask a question, and then we'll move on to your closing remarks. What I hope are closing remarks. Is this project making money for you? Is the housing portion of this project penciling for you right now?
Right now it's not.
Okay.
Historically, it's made, you know, it's been up and it's been down, but it's never made a 10% return.
Okay.
It's been much less than that. And if we were hiring an outside third-party management firm, we would be losing money.
So you're managing it yourself to balance the books?
That's correct.
Okay. And are you comfortable with whatever percentage that this council might agree to for the 1 year that it might not be the percentage moving forward? In other words, are you comfortable that whatever we decide to do in the next year might not be what you get in the following years? We're not I don't want to imply an implicit promise beyond a year at this point.
No, Commissioner Adams, we're very willing to work and help be a part of the solution here and define a policy that achieves what I think the city is trying to achieve with these various kinds of programs. The fact of the matter is we pro forma our program. We expect to run at about a 96% occupancy. Today, it's 90%. Okay, so we're running in the red at the moment. If we have to start paying any more property tax, we do pay property tax, by the way, on the dirt, on the land portion. It's not exempt. If we have to start paying more, it is just a further strain on the operation of the property.
And what would you say, help us craft an argument why anyone else that might come forward in your situation, any other particular project that might come forward, how would we say no to them and yes to you?
I can't give you very clear direction about that, but I can tell you the unique nature of this project. You've got commercial properties that are currently paying taxes that wouldn't otherwise be there. This property was zoned RH. In the Planning Bureau's view, in 1996, you would have to build 800 units of housing on the site that now constitutes Gleason Street Station. There wasn't a market for 800 units of housing at that location then. I suspect there's not a market for 800 units of housing at that location today. What we had to do in order to get this built, or the commercial developer would go somewhere else, and the neighborhood very much wanted this commercial development. What we had to do is go to the rest of the neighborhood and get them to upzone their property so there was no net loss housing potential. They willingly agreed to do that. And even still, there needed to be housing on this site in order to get the building permits, the zoning permits, to allow it to go forward. Everybody took a look at it and said, well, it can't be done. PDC said there's one fool in this town that you might want to talk to the commercial developer, and sent them my way. And so the fool sits here today saying, this is a tough project. It's hard to make it pencil, and we need all the tools that we can. In the meantime, I think we are delivering back more than just the affordability. We are delivering some vitality to the neighborhood that wouldn't be there, and we're delivering a tax base that otherwise wouldn't be in place.
I'm very familiar with the project, and it's all that you say and more. I mean, I think it's very unique, and which kind of makes further my point. I don't want to do something unintentionally that causes it to unravel. On the other hand, I think you and I both would benefit by having a clear template policy that we can apply to your project and others like it in the future, so you know what the rules are. The sense I have is you're not benefiting from knowing what the rules are. We're not benefiting from knowing what the rules are, and I'm just uncomfortable on the fly doing this kind of thing. So you've made a stronger case than I've heard up to now of extending the status quo for a year until we can sort this out. But I think what you're hearing is we don't want that to be used against us as well in future considerations, either on your property or others, that we did it here. Why not there?
So before I call on Commissioner Fish to propose a way forward, unless there are any additional questions for Mr. Steffi, we will see if there's anyone in the audience who wishes to testify, since no one signed up.
I'll make one comment just about the listening to words. I have only one functioning vocal cord, and so sometimes people accuse me of speaking half-truths. It's nice to be able to come and see that maybe that's not the reaction that I would get here. So so thank you.
Thank you. Well, appreciate it.
I wanted to say, Dan, I appreciate you came in and briefed me on this and helped educate me on it. You are a long-term partner of this city and particularly of this commissioner on our big P and small P preservation strategy. I look forward to working with you. This is an emergency ordinance that has some unique circumstances. I think the sense of the council is we don't want to set a precedent today, but we also want to be mindful of some of the challenges you face. If I'm reading my colleagues correctly, I think there is an appetite for a one-year extension at 100%, and then a commitment by me that I will work with planning, PDC, BHCD, to bring before the council a more comprehensive review and update of our policies on tax abatements generally. So how do I address you now? You the president?
You just whatever. but before we do that, I need to check to see if there's anyone.
Whatever.
If there's anyone in the room who thank you, Mr. Steffi. If there's anyone in the room who seeks to testify, since we had nobody sign up outside. Seeing that no one has come forward, Commissioner Fish.
Well, I'd like to propose an amendment to the ordinance, to the mayor's ordinance, and we can work out the language with council because it's an emergency ordinance. So we have to get this down. But the gist of it would be that we grant a one-year extension of the tax abatement under the same terms and conditions that has been enjoyed over the past 10 years, meaning an additional 1 year at 100%. And that be the amendment to the ordinance before us, and that we do this on a clear, non-precedential basis, and that the sense of the council is we'll revisit the policy questions and have some guidance for the applicant before the expiration of the one-year period.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Do you need anything else, Ben? So the vote we're about to undertake is on the amendment we just heard from Commissioner Fish. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So can we do other business and come back to the final vote? Okay. So we'll come back for a final vote on item number 831, but we'll proceed to the regular agenda. And... going from
839, I think.
No, we just did 839, so we're on 877. This is a resolution, and it's been put forth by Mayor Tom Potter and Commissioner Nick Fish. Commissioner Fish.
I should probably read the title.
Sorry.
877, adopt the Sergeant Jerome Sears United States Army Reserve Center reuse master plan and recommend redevelopment of the site for a mixed-income rental and ownership housing development that includes permanent supportive housing for homeless single adults and homeless families with special needs, and designate community partners for affordable housing as a preferred developer of the Sears site.
Sam, I, what I, What I'd like to do is, up before we take a presentation, I'd like to update the council on the status of this.
Go ahead.
As my colleagues will remember, about 2 weeks ago, we had a report from PDC that outlined a number of options for the site. It was our decision to take the report and the testimony, but delay coming to any decision about a recommended use. Our role in this process is to make a recommendation to the Department of Defense, which is free to ignore our recommendation, or accept our recommendation and choose another applicant, or do whatever they'd like, in essence. Because of the time frame last week, and because of my sense of the sense of the council, last week Mayor Potter and I filed an ordinance which designated an affordable housing use for this site. Since the filing of that ordinance, the council has received a determination from FEMA that another possible use of this site would be subject to a 100% free transfer, and that would be an emergency management facility. For that application to be successful, however, it would have to have a affordable housing component built into it, either on-site or off-site. Based on the new information we've received, Commissioner Leonard approached me and said that he thought the process may benefit from a brief delay in our decision to determine whether there are alternative sites in Southwest Portland where an affordable housing piece could be constructed, essentially using the savings that we would get off of a 100% free transfer of the land for emergency management to be allocated on some other site. It's my view that they would be a unique site because we're talking about a four-acre site that could accommodate mixed use and the number of units at issue. I've conferred with the mayor on this, and the mayor and I are willing to set this over 2 weeks, if that's what the council chooses to do, with instructions to staff to look to other alternatives for siting the affordable housing, provided there still is a sense of the council that we're going to do affordable housing somewhere, either at this site or an alternative site. So with that information, I wanted to share that because it may affect how you choose to conduct the hearing and take public testimony, and I would defer to you on that, Sam.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Is there discussion on council?
Yeah, I really appreciate Commissioner Fish's considering my request. It just appears to me that there's a lot of energy around not just the neighborhood, but also the bureaus to have an emergency response location on the west side of the river. With the information that Commissioner Fish just discussed in terms of being able to receive the property on Multnomah with no cost if we use it for that purpose, but on the condition that we have some affordable housing component, it seems to me that we ought to that ought to help energize those that might be interested in having the Multnomah site used for an emergency response site. Help us find an appropriate location on the west side of the river for the affordable housing component that we're all committed to do. And I think that Commissioner Fish is suggesting a couple weeks set over, which means we have, like, I would say 7 to 10 days in which to identify some other viable location that we could take advantage of this unique position that we find ourselves in of having this property gifted to us by the feds versus having to pay up to a half of the cost, which is $1.5 million. So there's some financial incentives to do this. I think the neighborhood might be interested in that. So if not just the Water Bureau and PDOT and POM would focus on alternate sites, but those of you who may be interested in having the housing component on an alternate site would help identify viable locations, I think we might, with Commissioner Fish's leadership, have our cake and eat it too.
Commissioner Salzman?
Well, I'm very comfortable with the recommendation contained in Commissioner Fish's resolution. I think, you know, we heard a lot of testimony. To me, there were two outstanding proposals, and that was the Community Partners for Affordable Housing and then the proposal by the Westside Christian High School. I think while the dynamic, this sounds kind of nice, I think the dynamics are going to fall flat on their face, in my opinion. First of all, the property value that we'll get 100% rebated of is not enough to build a 4-acre affordable housing complex anywhere. So even though we're going to get the full property value, perhaps for free. That's not going to give us enough to develop 4 acres elsewhere. Secondly, you know, with all due respect, I think that our POEM, emergency management, whatever, is really kind of something that was cooked up on the fly. And, you know, we're talking in this last budget we approved of spending upwards of $10, $15, $20 million on renovating our emergency communication center in Southeast Portland to accommodate POEM, all the emergency management functions. So I really don't think we need the West Side facility, and I don't think that it's been